We're going to start in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, the end of the story of Jesus' crucifixion. We're going to read a few verses, and then we're going to dig in today. Matthew chapter 27, verse 57. Says, as evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea, who had become a follower of Jesus, went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. And Pilate issued an order to release it to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a long sheet of clean linen cloth. He placed it in his own new tomb, which had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance and left. Both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting across from the tomb and watching. The next day on the Sabbath, the leading priests and Pharisees went to Pilate and they told him, "Sir, we remember what that deceiver once said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. And this will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body and then telling everyone he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first." Verse 65, Pilate replied, "Take guards and secure it the best you can." So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it. And with the sealing of the tomb and the rolling of the stone and the posting of the guards and the death of Jesus on the cross that had taken place just a few hours earlier, in that moment, the Pharisees, the religious leaders who hated Jesus, all the way through the imps and the demons of hell to the devil himself, all the way on earth, all the disciples who had followed Jesus for the last 3.5 years, giving their all, Jesus' own mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, all of those that followed Jesus, with the rolling of the stone and the sealing of the tomb, they all said, "That's it. Jesus has been canceled. Everything that he talked about, all the hope that he gave us, all of the miracles that he wrought, all of the people that he rose from the dead, the blind eyes that he opened, the deaf ears that he healed, the lame men that he made to walk, all of the plans of God that had been, that we thought were all there, all focused, all ready for Jesus with the rolling of the stone," they said, "Jesus is now canceled. The plan of salvation, canceled. The plan of redemption, canceled. The plan of restoration, canceled." I'm sure all of us in this room today have experienced that word canceled in some form or another over the last year or so, haven't we? We've all had all kinds of things canceled. Everything from things that are really, you know, it's a big deal in the moment, but when we look back, it's not that big a deal. We're all going to live. You know, when our birthday parties get canceled, it's a bummer, but we're going to live. Prom getting canceled, it's a bummer, but we're going to live. I know it's a big deal. Graduations being canceled, it's a bummer, but we're gonna make it through. Amen, somebody? We've all experienced that. But we've even had greater things than that over the last year. I'm sure we've had that word canceled around it. Everything from jobs to families to relationships to the way that we literally thought the world worked and how we were going to do. We've all experienced cancellations over the last year from coronavirus. Amen, somebody? Not even that. We hear that word floated around all of the time. When somebody does something that, for whatever reason, we say you're not supposed to do, or we decide to do a deep dive on somebody's life and their past, and we realize, hey, this person wasn't always what we thought they were supposed to be, and what do? We slap the word canceled on them, right? Everything from Dr. Seuss being canceled to comedians being canceled to actors being canceled, movies being canceled. We've all experienced cancellation. That's exactly, you know, that's not a new phenomenon. That's exactly what the enemy, that's exactly what the Pharisees, that's exactly what they thought happened and what they were trying to do with Jesus 2,000 years ago. Let's cancel the Son of God. Let's cancel the King of Kings. Let's cancel the Lord of Lords. And with every cancellation that Jesus, that when Jesus' life, along with every cancellation that we experience in our life, there's always a sound that accompanies that cancellation, right? Some people are glad. Some people cheer. in victory, and they're excited. I'm glad that Dr. Seuss, that crazy man, is finally canceled, and we're burning all of his books, right? Some people are excited. Another noise, some people get mad and get angry. How dare you cancel Dr. Seuss? How dare you cancel my graduation? How dare you cancel my birthday party? How dare you cancel my Friday night at Chili's? How dare you cancel whatever it is that's being canceled? There's always a sound of cancellation. Some people mad, some people cheering, some people yelling and screaming in anger, some people waving their hands in victory. There's a sound. But listen, I've got good news for you, and I've got good news for me this morning. Listen to me close. Don't miss this. The story doesn't end with the cancellation of Jesus. And just like the story didn't end with the cancellation of Jesus on Friday, I got news for you today. Whatever you think is canceled, the story isn't over yet. Because listen, with every cancellation that makes a sound, there is another sound that gets made when God decides, I'm going to go ahead and just uncancel what you thought and what the world thought and what the enemy thinks is canceled. Let's read on. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 through 6 says, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Verse 2. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. Do not be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just like he said it would happen. Come see where his body was laying. Listen. When God rolled away the stone, he did it with the sound of a great and mighty trembling earthquake. And I got news for you. Listen, the sound of God rolling away the stone is louder than the silence of your grave. When God, listen, the sound of God uncanceling, the sound of Jesus uncanceling what you might think is canceled speaks much, is reverberating at a much higher volume than the silence of whatever you think is canceling. And I've got to tell somebody this in my heart, from the depths of my soul, in the deepest part of my spirit, this morning in 2021, I hear the sound of gravestones being rolled away. I can hear in my spirit the sound of what you thought was canceled in your life. God is rolling that stone back and saying, I'm uncanceling everything that the enemy thought was canceled. I hear the sound of an earthquake of rolling stones in your life this morning. God is writing uncanceled on your grave. Let me tell you exactly what got uncanceled. Let me tell you what God's uncanceling in youth. Easter 2021. The first thing is obviously the stone. The stone represents the obstacles that stand in your way. Things that you cannot and have no ability or strength or power to move on your own. We have all experienced things that we had nothing to do with. We have all experienced obstacles that we did not put in our own path, and yet all of a sudden we came up against them, and we thought it was over, and we thought the obstacle meant that it was canceled, our path was canceled, our journey was canceled, what we were believing for was canceled. Listen to me, friend. I hear the sound of those stones, those obstacles being uncanceled and rolling out of your way this morning. The second thing that got uncanceled, if you notice in the first text that we read, Pilate ordered that they seal the stone. And I had to do a little digging. I've read that 100 times and never noticed that part until just a few weeks ago, and or just a few days ago. And I had to do, what do you mean they sealed it? This is what that meant. Not only did they roll a giant stone in front of the grave, but they would take like a rope of some kind And then they would take, you ever seen like those old movies where they send scrolls and they have a wax seal that they seal up the letters with the king seal? That's what they would do. That's what it meant to seal it. They would put a rope barrier, some kind of barrier in front of the stone, and then they would seal that up with wax and put the seal of the Roman governor or government in that. That way they knew to not only would it be difficult to move the stone, but to move the stone, you would have to break the seal, and it would be obvious that someone tampered and was going into someplace that they said they weren't going to go. Can I tell you what else has been uncanceled? Can I tell you what else I sense God uncanceling? Listen to me close, friend. God is uncanceling every unjust law, every government decree, everything that looks like it's set up against you. I believe God is unrolling and uncanceling the seal that has been placed against you, and God is declaring Easter 2021, every single seal that you have found that says don't mess with this, don't touch this, it's being uncanceled in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Listen, well, we canceled Easter last year. I got news for you. You couldn't cancel Easter even if you tried. Listen to me, friend. Church has never been canceled. Easter was never canceled. Jesus was never canceled. We might do some things differently once in a while when we have to, but there is no government or authority that has any ability or authority to cancel the work or the plan of God inside each and every one of us. Amen? That seal is being uncanceled. The third thing that was placed in front of the stone was the stone, the seal, and then Pilate said, place some soldiers, some shields in front of it. Sometimes the obstacle might get removed and the seal might get broken, but there might still be people standing, relationships standing, people standing in between you and where you know God has called you to go. And guess what? When the earthquake came and the stone rolled away, not only was the obstacle moved, not only was the seal removed, but the shield. God said, He said the Roman soldiers, when they saw the angel, they fainted with fear. They gave up. They quit because they recognized that their authority had been canceled themselves in the uncanceling of what they thought was canceled. Guess what? I got news for you. Every person that's lied about you, every person that's talked about you, every person that you are, whether it's true or not, holding responsible for whatever is in your way, God is saying, I'm uncanceling that as well. God is uncanceling the stone. He's uncanceling the seal, and he's uncanceling the shields that stand between you and where you know God has called you to be. How many received that this morning in Jesus' name? You say, well, wait a minute. They did put the stone there. They did put the seal there. They did put the shields there. It was over. It was finished. Preacher, it's one thing to get dressed up on Sunday morning and get this crowd, and you got the band, they're playing my song, and we're feeling hyped up, and we're celebrating the moment, and we're feeling the moment. But man, when I go back home, guess what? I've got real problems. I've got real stones there. I've got real seals against me. I've got real shields standing in front of me. What do you, and they're really, listen. Don't confuse an attempt to cancel with an accomplishment to cancel. Just because they attempt it doesn't mean they've accomplished it. Just because the enemy has placed a stone there doesn't mean he's accomplished canceling your life. Just because there's a seal standing in front of you doesn't mean that the cancellation has been accomplished. Just because there's some people in front of you doesn't mean that they have accomplished it. An attempt is not an accomplishment. And all the world and all the enemy and all Pilate and all the soldiers and all the Pharisees, and this translates to your and my life as children of God as well, all they could do was attempt to cancel the plan of God. But just because they attempted it, and just because their attempt got really close, and just because their attempt looked like it was done, doesn't mean it's been accomplished, no matter how close that attempt gets. When I think about that, it reminds me of this story that I heard a long time ago. Back in the 1880s, as Civil War Reconstruction was taking place throughout the South, there was a famous, very famous chess player who was actually part of one of the armies. I can't remember which one, but his name was Paul Morphy. Paul Morphy was an accomplished chess player. After he had served in the Civil War, he was known in that time as just the most brilliant chess mind in America. And the story goes that he was visiting actually a reverend's house, a preacher's house, somewhere around Richmond, Virginia, around the 1880s. And they were eating dinner, and the minister had this picture. I want you to put it up here. Very famous picture. This is an artist by the name, I'm going to read the name so I don't get it wrong, by the name of Moritz Reich. German fellow, I believe. Moritz Reich, and he was actually commissioned to inspire to do a bunch of elaborate paintings, depictions of the famous German poet Faust and his poetry and writings about Dante's Inferno and all of the, and some of those things. So this is a very famous painting, at least at the time, of Faust, poet, about the gentleman who sells his soul to the devil. And the name of this picture, just keep that up on the screen for a minute, the title is called Checkmate. And as the story goes, that they were eating dinner, and Paul Morphy, the famous chess player, throughout the evening kept studying the picture and just looking at the picture. His attention kept being drawn to the picture, till finally the reverend commented on it and said, "So I noticed you noticing this picture of Faust, and from this, he goes, I picked it up, and it's called Checkmate." Story goes that Paul Morphy got up from the table and began to study the picture, and after a little while, he said, "You know," he said, "I think I can take the young man's position and win the game." And all the guests and the reverend, they laughed at him. They said, "Hey, there's no way this, it's checkmate. Look at the board. Nobody, there's no way you can take the game." He said, "You know what? Why don't we set the pieces up and start the game from that position and see what happens?" So a crowd gathered around, and they got around the table. They set the pieces up as they're depicted on the board. And within a few moves, Paul Morphy had himself out of trouble. And in just a few more moves, he had actually won the game and snatched victory from the claws of the devil. And they were asking, they said, how did you come to that conclusion? How did you know that you could win the game? And the saying says that Morphy said, "You know, as I studied the picture, as I studied the position of the pieces," he said, "I began to see one thing real clear." He said, "I began to see that the king had one more move." I'm here to tell somebody today, no matter how much crazy, no matter how great the attempt looks on your life, no matter how much checkmate it looks like has been written over your life, no matter how canceled you feel, no matter how down in the dumps you feel, no matter how surrounded you feel, I got news for you. The resurrection 2,000 years ago lets you and me know that the king has one more move. There's still a stone he can roll away. There's still a seal he can break. There's still a shield he can move. The king has one more move this morning. It's not over. It's uncancelled. The angel says to the ladies, Mary and Mary, "Come in and see for yourself that Jesus has been resurrected." You know, it wasn't until just a little bit ago I recognized that the stone didn't move to let Jesus out. The stone moved to let you and I in. See, we read that story, grow up in Sunday school, we think, well, of course, God had to roll the stone out of the way. How else was Jesus going to get out of the tomb? I mean, he had been risen from the dead, but surely he needed some help getting out of the grave, as if being risen from the dead, all of a sudden the stone was going to keep Jesus in. You know what I mean? Wouldn't that be terrible? Raised from the dead, have to knock on the door to get out. No, the stone was nothing. The stone didn't need to move to let Jesus out, friend. He had already defeated death, hell, and the grave. Nothing was keeping Jesus in the grave. The stone moved. The seal was broken and the shields were removed from the equation to let you and I in. To let you and I in to what? To let you and I in to see that Jesus is exactly who he said he was. The stone was rolled so that you and I could peer in and see, oh man, Jesus really is alive. Guess what? He really did cancel. He really did uncancel death, hell, and the grave. That means he's uncanceling my grave. He's uncanceling my death. He's uncanceling my sin. He's uncanceling my addiction. He's uncanceling everything that has me canceled in life. The stone rolled away is an invitation for you and I to move in. And see, in Mark's gospel, go and start playing for me if you can, Lord. In Mark's gospel, it tells this same moment. It says that as the ladies are walking early on Sunday morning to the graveside of Jesus, Matthew doesn't show it, but Mark says that they're having this conversation. And one of them asks the other, it says this. They say, who will move the stone for us? We've got the spices ready. We're willing. We're ready. We want to do what we think we're supposed to do. But we know when we get there, there's going to be this stone. Who will move the stone? And I can't tell you how much I love the picture and the idea that even though they had no idea what they were going to do with the stone when they got there, they went ahead and started walking there anyway. You might be saying, preacher, that sounds great. An invitation to come in and experience Jesus. An invitation to come in and experience the uncancellation of everything in my life. That sin, everything in my life, that addiction, everything in my life, that life has canceled. But I already know the stones that are in the way. I already know the seals that are standing there. Who's going to move my stone? I believe if you start walking towards what you know Jesus is inviting you into, if you start moving in faith toward where God has called you to go, guess what? You're going to find out who is moving the stones. You're going to find out when you get there that God has already taken care of the stones for you and written uncanceled on it. Come on, somebody. If you'll step in faith, you might have, listen, I know you might have questions. You might be saying, man, who's going to move the stone? Who's going to move the stone? Listen, don't worry about who's going to move the stone. You just worry about taking the steps you're supposed to take, and you let God worry about moving the stone, because I hear the sound of stones rolling in this house this morning. All I've got to do is accept the invitation. Accept the invitation to come in and see. Stand all over his place this morning. Well, that sounds great. How do I accept that invitation? How do I accept the invitation to come and see, the same one that the angel? You know, one more thing I got to say, because I know you think, well, okay, my stone is really big. My stone, my seal is a really big deal. I love this idea, this visual image of the angel coming and the stone being rolled away. And the Bible says the angel sat on top of it. You ever been wrestling with your sibling or something and you get the upper hand and you just sit on their chest? Is there anything more emasculating or demeaning when you have someone just sitting on your chest and you're just like, I can't do nothing. That's what I feel like the angel does when he sits on this stone. He rolls it away and just sits on it like, I know you thought it was a big deal. I know you were worried about it. I know you were going, who in the world can move this giant thing in front of us? And the angel of God just moves it over and sits on top of it just to say, this ain't nothing for me. This ain't no big deal for me. The stone you think is not going to move, it's nothing to God. If I step in faith, I'll find out. How do you make that step? How do you make that invitation? How do you receive and accept that invitation? It's real simple. The simplest I can make it is as simple as A, B, C. For some of you, say, for some of you, the invitation, listen, right now in this place this morning, the invitation is come into a relationship with Jesus. Come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Come and know Jesus as the resurrected King of glory that he is and wants you to know him as in your life. Listen, this is not this invitation to know Jesus, it's not for religious people. It's not for good people. I know you look at me, you're like, man, that guy's got it together. He's got that slick bomber jacket on. He's look, man, surely, no, listen. I didn't always look this put together. I didn't look this put together 20 minutes ago. I'll tell you that right now. I'm just kidding. I don't look that put together. I mean, maybe I look. But I always say this, listen, because I know what it's like. I can still remember what it was like as a partying, weed smoke-filled teenager looking around at people in church going, man, not only are these people crazy, but there's no way the God they're talking about has anything for me. You're talking, this is for good people. This is for people that don't have problems. This is for people that don't have issues. I don't care what you're imagining to be the most put together, well put together, religious, Christian, good person in here is. But I promise you two things. Number one, if you got to know them outside of this little moment right here, that image would get shattered very quickly. And number two, all of them stood exactly where you might be right now, thinking, I'm not good enough. I'm not equipped enough. I'm not smart enough, I'm not religious enough, or whatever the enough you think is. This invitation is for everyone. Jesus died for everyone. For some of you, that's the invitation, that's the step that God has for you right now, Easter 2021. Beyond just finding some place to worship and I'm so glad you did. God wants you to receive the invitation. Now, how do you do that? A, B, C. The first thing I've got to do is I've got to accept the fact that I am a sinner who needs a Savior. Every single one of us are born in a state of sin. None of us are good. None of us are good enough. None of us are qualified enough. None of us are holy. None of us are, we are all born sinners. That's what the Bible says. Every single one of us. And the first step to receiving that invitation, to coming in to the empty tomb, coming in and receiving Jesus, listen, is accepting that I am a sinner who needs a Savior. I am not a mistaker who needs an eraser. I do not make mistakes. I sin. Amen? That's the bottom line. I accept that. B. Except I'm a sinner that needs a Savior. B, believe that Jesus is the Savior that I need. Amen? Believe that Jesus is the Savior that I need. Well, how do I believe that? How can I know that? Well, first of all, I know that because that's exactly who he said he was. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Jesus said it is through my name that all men shall be saved. And there is no other name on heaven and earth by which men can be saved. Now, you might be thinking, well, you know, preacher, I like the stuff Jesus said. He said a lot of good things. I believe he was a good teacher. But I don't know, you know, you kind of lose me at that Son of God stuff. You kind of lose me at that Savior stuff. Well, here's the deal. That line of thinking may make sense for a moment, but if you pull the thread, you'll find out it doesn't make that much sense at all. Because here's the reality. Good people don't go around saying they're the Savior of the world. Amen? Good people don't go around saying they're the Son of God. Follow me and only me. Okay? When he makes that statement, it then becomes impossible for me to receive him as a good person and not receive him as the Savior that he declares himself to be. Because good people don't say things like that. Crazy people do. He's either crazy or he's a king. And if I believe he's a really good guy, I've got to logically take the step to understand that he cannot just be a good guy or else he's crazy. Jesus must be the king. Believe that. Accept I'm a sinner who needs a Savior and believe that Jesus is who he said he is. And then see, confess what I believe in my heart with my mouth, and so shall I be saved. That's what Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10 says, that when I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth, salvation comes into my life. I begin a relationship with Jesus. Why do I have to say, listen, when I say confession, I'm not talking about going into a booth somewhere. I'm talking about opening up your mouth and declaring with your mouth what is going on in your heart. Why do I gotta do it? Well, the Bible says in Proverbs that the power of life and death is in the tongue. And I can either open up life with my mouth and my words by receiving Jesus, or I can open up death by keeping my mouth shut. Let me tell you the practical stuff that I've seen in my life over the last 20 years or so following Jesus is this. When I speak out into the universe, when I speak out into the world, when I speak out outside of myself what's going on in here, it just seems to bring heaven and earth together. It cements the moment. And in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to lower your heads, close your eyes. I think I said that right? Yeah. And that's not because we're ashamed, and it's not because we're embarrassed, but I want to give you a moment to focus and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And in just a moment, we're going to do that. And then I'm going to ask some of you that right now in this moment, say, well, how do I know God's talking to me? Your heart's pounding, your palms are sweaty. You think I'm going to pull some trick on you? Listen, there's no tricks. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I am going to ask you to raise your hand in just a moment as the public declaration to say yes. Yes, I'm responding. Yes, I'm saying yes to Jesus. Yes, I want to know him today. Maybe you're in this place and you've never accepted Jesus. And right now, what you feel, that's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit loves you. And Jesus loves you. And he's trying to get your attention. Revelation says, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That pit in your stomach, that nervous, that's probably God knocking on the door of your heart, saying, this is your moment. This is your day. This is your time. Maybe you used to serve God. Maybe you used to follow Jesus. For whatever reason, life has gotten in the way. Sins have crept back up. Old habits became new habits and even stronger habits. And this is a moment for you to say, no, I'm going to rededicate my life to the Lord. I'm going to rededicate my life to Jesus. You can do that today as well in just a moment when we invite you to raise your hand. In fact, it's time. Would you just close your eyes for a moment? Bow your heads if you can. This is a way to focus. This is about you and God. No one else around you. Listen, I don't care if you're here with your family. I don't care if you're here with a husband or wife. Listen, no one can make this decision for you. No one can say yes for you. And please don't say no on account of anybody else around you or what they might think. Eternity literally stands in the balance. If you're in this place this morning, I don't care what got you here. I don't care what brought you here. Right now, today, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. He's rolled away the stone, and he's inviting you in to come and experience a resurrected life through him. Right now, if that's you, we just raise your hand all over this room. Right now, raise your hand. Amen. 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 I see hands up. Thank you, Jesus. Leave your hands up for just a moment, if you will, please, if you raised them. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. You can put it back down now. Amen. I want everyone in this room to pray with me out loud so that you can hear it with your own ears. Oh, church family, pray. Pray, elders, Red Life family. Sons and daughters of God, let's pray. Somebody's life is about to begin a transformation. I have a deep witness of that in my heart right now. Everyone in this room, pray this prayer with me out loud so you can hear it with your own ears. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. But I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. And I ask you right now to forgive me of my sin. Come and live on the inside of me. Help me to follow you from this day on. In Jesus' name, amen. Holy Spirit, we thank you right now. Lord, I ask you right now, according to your word in Romans chapter 8, your word declares that the Holy Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we have become children of God, sons and daughters of God. And Lord, I pray for that witness to come right now. In Jesus' name, I rebuke every ounce of fear. I rebuke every ounce of doubt. I rebuke every whisper that the enemy is putting in people's minds and heads and hearts. If you're online right now and you prayed that prayer, drop that in the comments. Let us know. Put a raised hand emoji. This is for you as well. Right now, in Jesus' name, I come against every doubt that says that wasn't real, that didn't count. No, right now, Lord, I thank you that you are letting us know that you have heard us, you have answered our prayer, and Lord, you are making us new creatures in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.